My name is Kaisel Bakshi, and now, at the end of the first stage of my personal scholarly quest to research the forgotten Minotaur King Krunturg, I find myself without a bodyguard, and in the midst of an encroaching battle between the army of my home kingdom, Wolfkeep, and the foreign soldiers I've aided in rescuing a prisoner I hardly know, in an effort to emancipate a people I'd never met, all in the city of the Minotaur King, the one he ruled and eventually abandoned so many years ago, Goldenerod. I must see to the safety of my friends, the Knight Lieutenant Artois Valouin, his captains Alessio and Galen, the medical staff of the Palamedes University, Psyche Silliban, and the nurse Estelise, Mayor Kind Lehman, who was tasked with governing this kingdom in King Krunturg's abdication, had been forced to leave town to keep his son safe. If I could ensure all parties would survive the coming legion of half-orcs, led by the toad-like prince, Dinge Pagus, I'd truly feel safe ending this stage of my academic work and following Krunturg's journey to Scalamandri Port and beyond. After Ahani and I looked at each other, confirming we both heard the blaring horns and thunderous drums of the Wolfkeep forces on march, a sound we didn't hear often, but frequently enough during our youth to vacate the city streets, we approached the harried and exasperated Valouin, who had just finished dismissing Psyche to return to her triage duties. When he saw us approaching, he frowned, a glare of consternation.
"First, I see you two off to the castle in an attempt to rescue your friend. Next thing I know, we are bombarded by enchanted ballistas?"
I stifled the urge to correct him that the massive, magic, harpoon-sized bolts were fired by a single catfolk woman. That information might dishearten him and his limited forces further.
"I came to this country to help refugeed mouselings out of Scalamandri Port, much to the ambivalence of my country's government. Then I was self-tasked with rescuing my proprietor, Aksur. At no point were my men and I hired to save a town. The moment the path is clear, we are leaving."
Ahani and I once again stared at each other in consideration. We too had little to no true loyalty to Goldenerod, and just wanted to leave as well. We told this much to Valouin, who grinned with amusement.
"Ha, Marvelo. Captain Galen is still under the weather, and she is helping the men pack for our departure. I offered you safe travel to the port city this morning. This offer still stands. That beautiful Rosé Serpentine Doctor Psyche has agreed to come and conscript with my Merengue Knights if we allow Destelise to tag along as well. You can ride with them. Now, I must return to my work."
Nodding in agreement, we left Valouin to seek out Captain Galen. Deeper in the back alleys of the Knight's temporary headquarters, we found the partially uncollapsed frames of coaches the Knights must have used to infiltrate the city all those days ago. And, as Valouin said, the sickly-looking Captain Galen worked with a few other soldiers, reconstructing the vehicles. So, not to get in the way, we stood to the side and watched them finish. As we loitered, the rotund mouseling Aksor Chungus, along with his wife, Swaree, Myrick's sister, exited the former fraternity house, arm in arm.
Ah, you must be Kaiser, the librarian I saw from my cellos those days. I must say, if you were working with my rescuers the entire time, I wish you would have said something earlier.
Swaree then playfully jabbed Mr. Chungus in the gut, and he recanted the playful barb.
Oh, please excuse my husband. He did not mean it. Did you manage to find that rabbit girl? I owe her my life.
I pondered for a moment if I should make her aware that the rabbit girl that rescued her was her estranged sister, who left the mercenary company responsible for the potential deaths of other family members of theirs. But Ahani spoke up first, telling her the Le Riz de Cher took her to Scalamandri Port, and that was our next destination, traveling with the knights. I realized I had made the correct decision, as at the mention of the flesh pounder's nom de guerre, Swaree made a grimace and spat on the cobblestone roads. Obviously, she had no love for the group, and I had no clue what her feelings would be to find out about her sister's involvement. As we continued to wait, and the pallid captain swayed or else nearly collapsed multiple times during her task, eventually Chinook was carried out by a pair of knights, still restrained in a small cage, much to the diminutive dragonid's ire.
You fools better unhand me. I don't care that you killed Lord Carnager, but you destroyed precious tomes in the process. Do you have any idea how much those books are worth? Probably more than you dolts could count, and definitely more than you brutes would earn in a lifetime.
He continued to thrash and fire small bursts of flame as he was secured in one of the completed carriages, hopefully one that was rendered flame retardant. Galen finished the final coach, resulting in a dozen or so, ready to bear a half dozen or more soldiers each. As her fellow soldiers patted her on the back in celebration, a sharp whistle rang out that could be heard all throughout the headquarters. I heard a few men mutter that it was a sign from Elysio that meant danger. The men around the coaches ushered Aksor, Swaree, then Ahani and myself into one of the vehicles to remain safe. After a few moments, Galen and the rest, now geared in what looked like a large number of alchemical explosives, fled around the building's corner. I began to grow concerned, but eventually a few men returned with a handful of strong-looking horses and began barring them into the carriages. When Swaree cautiously asked if the attack was real and had begun, one of the soldiers sat in the driver's position and assured her that we would be safe. He then began to drive the carriage out from the back alleys of the HQ and through the main streets of Goldenerod. As we rode through the streets, the kingdom looked to be in utter chaos. The triage area was completely upturned. Saika and Estelise, along with any other medical students, were nowhere in sight, but a dozen half-orc guards, brandishing wolfkeep embroidered swords, slashed and stabbed at helpless citizens. The remaining Morongo Knight forces that didn't follow us in the train of carriages I didn't know were occupied, fought in the streets. Captain Galane, most ferociously of all, despite seeming practically enfeebled moments ago, she hurled explosives and gouged half-orcs on her flaming sword. I wasn't completely sure, as my vision was obscured, but she seemed to lunge on to one poor enemy and rip out his throat with her bare teeth, which hosted fangs that would rival Lord Carnager's. As we continued to flee, I caught a passing glance of the Ktoblepas mounted ogres. Evidently, a portion were pulled from the task of destroying the castle and ordered to plow through the town, toppling buildings and reducing stores to rubble. So many lives, and a personal blow to me, so much history, utterly destroyed, simply because of my own actions and the horrible anger of a powerful prince. While I wallowed in my own involvement in this massacre, Ahani remarked that we weren't heading for the crossroads that led to the port, the forest, and the castle. Luxor seemed concerned of this and asked the driver. He told us we couldn't use that route, as that was where the Pagus forces were marshaling. We were headed to the northeastern exit of the town, towards the cave that housed Kine's skeletal legions. Our caravan of nearly a dozen carriages rode through the wall of gold flowers that surrounded the entirety of Goldenrod Kingdom. Now I was even more sure than before. Why would the carriages take us in this direction? Circling around to the port made sense, but this was a complete detour. We rode on for a few more moments, until ours and all of the following carriages came to a halt. I heard a number of heavy treads leaping from various vehicles, and found curiosity got the better of my common sense, and pushed the back flap of the coach open. Val Wen was riding behind us. In that cart with him were a very dejected-looking Saika and Estelise. They must have seen the horrible sights we'd passed. But as Valwen walked from his ride, he passed ours wordlessly and met with a figure I couldn't quite see. Ahani gave me a gentle push, obviously believing it best for us to investigate. As I leapt from the back and ignored the driving knight's half-hearted hey, I rounded the carriage and saw the figure in front of our convoy was Mare Kind. He was still strapped for battle, but without the baby Bjorn that harnessed Little Court. He had a stoic look on his face as he offered us a solemn nod.
Fancy seeing you here. Little Court's safe with Perna and her family, taking a spare cart to Jadenna's town without me. The moment I saw that destruction rain down on my city, I knew I needed to stay and unleash hell.
Valwen offered him a warrior's handshake, grasping each other's wrists and locking eyes. When they broke the embrace, Kind took a few steps back and raised his right hand in the air. Then, with a peculiar amount of strain, balled it into a tight fist. A few seconds of pregnant silence followed, until the ground began to rumble beneath us. Before our very eyes, the legion of undead housed in the adjacent tomb flooded the fields. skeletal warriors of all kinds, many with weapons, and all at attention. As I stared in awe, studying the battalion that could retake the entire city, everyone in our group was then jolted in shock, as the whizzing sound of a massive arrow rang out over our heads, and a massive explosion of azure flames plumed from the center of the Vigabane legions, shattering dozens. We all turned in the direction of the noise to see two figures standing in the midst of the flowery field, both atop very ordinary horses. One was the Regent Mother, Selva, and possibly large bow still in hand, but now trained on our convoy. The other was the blue-skinned, yellow-horned, bird-beaked, and pot-bellied form of Fugazi.
Hey, come on, huh? You didn't think that little building you dropped on me was gonna kill me, did you, huh?
He leapt from his horse and casually stretched his back in a few different ways while approaching our group.
You know, I came back here before reporting to my boss, huh? Not those royal idiots. No, I mean my real boss, okay? And thank goodness, Lady Selva, I had this little group you chaperoned in, huh?
He continued to nonchalantly walk towards us. I and Ahane were paralyzed, but Valwen and Kind tensed for combat. He finally stopped less than a few meters from us.
If this is the best you got, I'm just gonna have to kill you all, okay? You guys have 5 seconds to give up, and 3 of them are already gone.
Hi, my name is Matthew Lewis, and I do the voice of Kaisel Bakshi, along with all the additional voices in The Forgotten Minotaur King. I hope you enjoy the podcast and continue to listen into the future. If you want to support my content, please donate to my Patreon, Matthew Lewis Podcasts. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Matthew Lewis Podcasts, all one word. Follow me on Twitter at Matthew Lewis P. Or leave a positive maximum star review on your podcast app of choice. If you found this podcast, I assume you're familiar enough with the genre to know how important reviews are to the survival of a channel. And I hope you recommend this to your friends. Or if you didn't like it, you could recommend it to your enemies, and I'll teach them a lesson. Keep it sleazy, folks, and thank you.